Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast looking at round 8. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Brenton, you got a highlight of the week?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few out there. It's been a pretty action-packed week. I didn't get to do a whole lot of watching live sport because Good Beer Week started. But I saw the highlights of lots of MMA fights. It was Knockout City all weekend. It was
highlight
crazy.
Reels.
Yeah, I saw there was a wheel kick knockout. Vitor Belfort got kicked in the face again.
Old Machida bringing back the front kick.
Yeah. And Mackenzie Dern missed some weight again. That's no surprise.
By about 8 pounds.
Yep. And what was the other one? Someone got an Ezekiel choke from being mounted.
Yeah.
Again.
Again. Olegitnik?
Yeah.
I'm going to mispronounce his name even if I was reading it.
Yeah, Polish fellow, right?
Yeah, but this time he did it from standing.
Yeah.
And pulled him into mount. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You reckon, I think there's been 3 Ezekiel chokes in UFC history, and he has 2 of them?
Yeah.
You reckon he's got that?
You'd start sussing that out. It's just like almost, you know, when you know that Brian Ortega is going to try and triangle you.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is definitely going to go for Ezekiel chokes.
It's just the way it goes.
But yeah, it's a pretty big card. The other disappointing thing was, I don't know, what do you think about Raquel Pennington, who's told the corner at the end of the fourth that she's done, she's got nothing left, and they sent her back out there to get finished.
To get fucked up, good and proper. Yeah, I think that's a bad corner.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If I was her, I'd be sacking him because she was getting beat.
Yeah, she wasn't going to win that fight.
I didn't see the scorecards afterwards, but I imagine she was heading for a 50-44 loss.
Yeah, she would have been low 40s for sure, and had a broken nose, and obviously didn't want to go out there. And the thing is, like, she didn't, afterwards, she's like, no, I agreed with my corner, but yeah, it's because you're the fighter, you know what I mean? And generally, they're the ones that are like, nah, let me fight. If you're in that situation, you're saying no. I feel like that's just, you got to err on that side of caution and say, well, that's it.
Well, especially what I don't get is, like, everybody knew that she said no. Because it was caught on camera. How can that fight continue?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Somebody's got to go, ref, she said no.
Yeah.
And just, that's it. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I remember years and years ago when Mike Tyson was coming back and he fought, not Hurricane McNeely, but somebody.
Yeah.
And he quit after the second round and said, I'm out. And his corner shoved his mouth guard back in and said, no,
Jesus.
Get out there. He spat it back out. And the commentators were going off on him saying, this is disgusting. It's revolting.
Damn.
And everyone, he was getting fucked up, obviously.
Yeah.
And then 24 hours later, broken jaw.
Shit.
And like a clean break too.
Holy fuck.
And I remember the commentator, whoever he was, coming and goes,
he's done. Actually, there was another knockout, liver shot knockout by Lomachenko in boxing as well. He's just a fucking gun. I think that's put his record up to something stupid. Lots of action in the action sports world.
On the UFC. Josh will join us soon once we start getting into the
game. I'll tell you his highlight. It's probably something Formula One related. I don't know. Finn Alonso brought a kid into the paddock. Max Verstappen crashed into someone. Lewis won from the lead.
Could you stretch it out for about 5 minutes?
And that's about it. And Ferrari fucked up.
Yep.
And all attention on Ricciardo, maybe onto a Ferrari.
I got a couple of highlights. For reasons that I won't go into, I had to look up Break Into Electric Boogaloo on Wikipedia during the week. I think I had to explain why, you know the joke when a sequel is called like Clicking Balls 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
I had to explain why that's a meme to a 24-year-old.
Yeah, right.
And it's because of the movie Break Into. It's called Electric Boogaloo back in 1984. Anyway, I was reading it on Wikipedia and I'll just quote this little line for you. About who's in it. Wants to build a shopping mall. Victor Manol, Ice-T, and Matika, who was little known then, also appear as dancers. I got news for you, Matika. Still little known. but glad to see you filling out Wikipedia.
He's a contributor. I remember that one from... is it a Rob Schneider movie? Or is it... the fucking... what's that Australian kind of comedian, I guess? The Greek fella.
Yeah, okay.
He did Get Him Back to the Greek or some shit. No, that was fucking...
That was
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand, yeah. You're trying to think of Nick Giannopoulos.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Wogboy. Wogboy.
Yeah.
Two Electric Boogaloo. Does that make sense? Was that in a movie? Or was it a different Rob Schneider one?
Don't know. Whatever. Don't know.
Didn't like the first one.
My other highlight is we went to the footy on Mother's Day. And they do the kids getting free kick to kick on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Through May, they also do free flavoured milk for the kids.
Oh, right.
So the kids got in for free, got some flavoured milk. And there was also, I think, with Amy Insurance, we're giving out flowers. Roses to all the mothers, and they had a couple of players there. Yep. So Mitch Wallace, through Josh, gave my daughter a rose.
Oh, nice.
There you go. So he was there giving them out, and looked happy as Larry to be doing it too, to be honest.
I saw they were good seats, actually, that you got.
Yeah,
next
to
the race and on the fence, just about.
Well, actually, bad seats.
Okay.
Because... Oh,
Eddie had.
Well, yeah. One, I don't like sitting that close.
Yeah.
But two, we're on the right on the aisle where the coaches run down.
Okay.
So whenever it's quarter time breaks, you go, all right, now it's time to go grab a feed or go to the toilet.
Yeah.
The security guard said, nah, stop. Go away for the coaches. And god damn, we were at the Richmond race. Oh, a lot of fucking coaches, mate. I didn't know you had that many.
And they take Richmond fans serious, security.
They have to. They just bloody took ages.
What was the crowd end up being there? It was pretty packed.
Tick under 30.
That's not too bad, I suppose. I'm guessing there was still more Richmond and North Melbourne people there.
Yeah, it sounded close. It was even. Yeah, but... the Richmond fans were less spread out.
Yeah.
All right, there's been lots going on in the AFL world outside of the games, but we'll try and keep to some of the games, I think, as we go through the results. And first off, on Friday night, very wet, Hawthorn going down to the Swans. Fair to say, everyone's talking about fucking Ronk.
Yeah.
Ronky, Ronkowski, Ronkalenko.
Yeah, but the general consensus was amongst us was that if there was no buddy, then Hawks were going to get this win on the board. But
the question was, where did the goals come from?
Yeah. And
it was answered.
Answered real quick. And it seemed like the ball on the string just fell into his lap.
Oh, he worked damn hard, too. There was, but I think in the post-match, like, Clarko answered it well. Like, you know, there was a lot of times where we had a bloke out by himself and our players would start peeling off and he dropped the mark.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden they've got somebody who's out on his own. You go, oh, well, what do you expect?
Yeah.
So drop marks and missed tackles. What was really impressive about Ronk was the times where he just stood up in the tackle and said, no, I'm taking this on.
Yeah, well, he's still pretty well built for, what's his second season, third season?
No, third game.
Third game, holy shit. He's pretty well built for coming, you know, straight out of the box.
Yeah, absolutely.
Took good body work as well in those marking contests just to give himself a little bit of space and, yeah, keep upright, second and third efforts.
But once he got his confidence up, like once he bagged, you know, two or three in the first quarter, and then I think he got fourth on the siren in the first quarter.
Yep.
He said, well, it's my day. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to take him on.
And he did. Like, obviously got a very good goal sense because some of them weren't, you know, like a lot of time to think. They were pretty sort of quick decisions.
Great
snaps. Throw on the boot.
Yep.
See how it goes. And yeah, seven straight, was it? No behinds?
I think he might have missed one shot. But it was seven goals straight, though.
Yeah.
But he might have left one short or hung it out to the left or whatever.
And I wonder, obviously, because going into the game, I'm sure Hawthorn didn't have a comprehensive strategy on how to stop Ronky.
Ronk.
Yeah.
Couldn't spot him out of a lineup.
So I wonder how that plays into this round where Sydney, you know, obviously going to have a bit more pressure on there because Buddy's still going to be out, isn't he?
I think he's going to sit out one more.
Yeah, so I wonder how that's going to translate into shutting down Ronky. Do you just put someone... I don't know who they're playing at the moment this week, but let's just say, do you chuck some arsehole on them, get them to just rough him up?
If he kicks the first goal, you put away, whoever's your best backman, you go, all right, go look after him.
Yeah.
Because we don't want him to get, once he gets rolling, that's it. But, I mean, that just means that all the others are going to have a chance now. Because they can start to, all right, well, he's getting all the attention, this third gamer.
Well, because they've still got some injuries, don't they, Swans? Quite a few.
Big injuries they've got. In obviously, Reed and Franklin and Hanbury.
Yep.
Hanbury's definitely not playing, and I think Franklin is more than likely not playing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bit of extra attention paid to Ronk that you see Heaney start to maybe pick it up a bit with, you know, being able to split that sort of attack.
Yep.
Maybe he'll chip in for a few more goals now that he's not going to be, you know, he's obviously going to have more to worry about than just him or Parker or someone coming into the forward lines.
And like somebody pointed out online, seven goals for Ronk, that puts him fifth on Fremantle's goal kicking. Yeah, it's not a bad effort. I thought on the Hawthorne side of things, Jack Gunston was going all right, and so was Luke Bruce. But Sicily put together another great game. If he wasn't getting reported,
yeah,
it could be anything.
Well, you've got to have that man in the team, and I think that's what gives him confidence, especially if you can just take a lot of those hits for your teammates like he does, just get the opposition thinking about him as opposed to what the job should be doing.
Yeah,
definitely pays dividends. But it seemed like Hawks played a better sort of... I mean, they should have played a better team game. They had to spread it out a lot more in order to get some sort of offense happening, but obviously lots of mistakes as well.
They had the opportunities, but dropped marks and missed tackles. That's what did it at the end of the day. Hewitt held Mitchell pretty well, but when he gets held, you go, all right, O'Meara and Shields, what are you doing? And they couldn't get up.
Yeah, and I mean, it's pretty funny because they've had some games where they have popped up and managed to do that, especially Shields had one, wasn't last week before, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he popped in and did his part. And Amira's been obviously a work in progress, that's starting to come to fruition. But the Hawks always seem to have someone that's going to pop up and get them over the line in these sorts of games. But yeah, it seems like obviously with someone kicking 6-7 against you, what are you going to do?
Between Frawley and Tim O'Brien, I don't think that they could take a mark in their hands between them all night. And Taylor Dre had. I'd love to see how many broken tackles were on the night.
Yep.
It just seems every time he tackles somebody, they get out. And like you say, Ronk was he's well built for a first year player, but he's a first year player.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Jure's got two flags under his belt. He should be sticking those tackles.
Yeah, and like you say, he's well built for a first year player, but you wouldn't say he's well built.
No.
That's definitely easy to get him out of a contest.
I wonder what happens to Ronk this week. Like you're saying, like someone goes to him, but if he kicks one goal, do they go, well, we're hoping for more from you?
Yeah.
Or do you just go, mate, kick, do what you like. If we get one from you, that's all we need.
Well, it might be harder this week without any blocking happening in the back lines now.
Isn't that funny?
That was.
Oh.
What is it? Oh, Johnny Longmire and Clarko. Well, I didn't even realise they were teammates in North Melbourne. I didn't put that two and two together.
Back in the day, yeah.
But, just organising a little bit of a breakfast with Gil, give him the hard words and...
And now the email's
got it straight away.
I want to clear up something though, because the papers are reporting that Clarko's gone to Gil to ask him to send that email out. It's gone out to clubs. It's the other way around. Gil's asked Clarko, "Is it okay if I send this email?"
He's got a
proof. That's how much
it.
We're fucking running this shit.
Had to get a signature on there.
And I don't know what the big deal was anyway, because a third of the coaches are his deputies anyway. So he just tells them this is what's happening, sons.
And I mean, I think blocking is just a part of the game. You got to get around. It's almost like screens in basketball. You can't say no, just no more screening. It's not fair.
Yeah, well, it's funny what we accept, because I was talking about this today. Like, you can't shepherd when players are going for a mark unless you can't shepherd when the player's going for a mark.
Yeah.
But if you're on the goal line, we see shepherds all the time.
Yeah.
And nobody questions it. We're like, it's fine. That's good play. That's what you should be doing.
Let's see, I don't care about the shepherd. As long as you've got your eyes on the ball, we're not looking at the person. Yeah. I think that's like the fair compromise, because it's easy to outsmart someone who's not looking what you're actually doing kind of thing. If they're just trying to get a sense of where you are, it's much easier to pick up a sort of a counter strategy to that sort of defense. But if they're just looking at you and that's their only intention, then it's obviously you're going to get taken out. But I feel like that should be the give and the take of that situation.
I reckon loosen it up a bit even. Like, remember when everybody, I think fans interpreted that you can push as much as you like in the side.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone goes, well, actually, that's not the rule. And then it kind of changed a bit.
Yeah.
I reckon go back and make that the rule.
Push as
much as you like into the side.
Yeah. And because it was also, the counter strategy is you pull the seat out from underneath them when they come in. I think that's the unutilized strategy in marking contests.
Yeah, just go, no, I'm not there anymore. Yeah.
It's like the ghost tunneling.
That's it. Hawthorn certainly had their chances, but when it came down to it, the Swans took theirs, especially in the last quarter.
What was this, the last 10 minutes or so, wasn't it, 15 minutes?
Yeah, well, you kicked five goals straight to one goal five in the last quarter.
Yeah.
That tells
you the story. That'll make a big difference, And it wasn't raining towards the end of the match, was it?
It was wet all day, though.
Yeah.
It was a wet game.
It was a fucking shit-ass weekend.
Yeah.
Wet weather.
Weather-wise, yeah. All right, on to the next game, which is the Eagles and the Giants at Spotless Stadium. Look, the Eagles just did enough, really.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a grumbly game, this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've lost excitement for GWS games now, because I just want to see them kick more goals than behinds for a match, and they're probably in there with a chance.
Oh, okay. You want to go through their season so far?
Sure.
And see if... let me try and find it, because I don't reckon they've done that for a long, long time.
No. That's the worst thing, is getting the opportunity. to actually get in, get into a position to be able to win the game. We just need a conversion. So,
yeah,
you know, there's some of the teams doing the work to get the ball down there. So it's not all doom and gloom. It's just the finishing is atrocious.
Yeah. I think they haven't done it since round two, I'm going to say.
Shit.
Yep.
But the ones after that haven't come close to doing it.
No, but hey, round one, 20 goals, 13. Round two, 15 goals, 5.
Damn.
And then it's just horrible from there on in.
That's a big turnaround.
You know, the worst being like 9, 19.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Anyway, that's how they've been faring.
And the Broken Hill added him getting a run?
He did.
The park?
Isaac Cumming.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even know was on the cards. Which, when you look at their injury list, I mean, could have probably guessed, actually.
Yeah, they've had to reach all the way out to Broken Hill. Get a Guernsey on someone.
Well, that was the interesting thing, was it? For those that follow Broken Hill, which is...
No one.
they actually called up a Broken Hill player for the GWS reserves.
Did they?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Jaden Kelly, who was on the recruit.
Oh, he played for his Razzies, did he?
He played for...
no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, good on Jaden.
So they got a pummeling too, I think, against the Swans reserves, but yep. Never mind. But Isaac Cumming, I think actually the North Football Club got a lot of press over this weekend. They said Isaac Cumming's playing, obviously yeah. Tex Walker from the North Broken Hill Bulldogs, yeah. Kobe Much for Essendon, who's one of their only good players at the minute. and then they mentioned Jaden Kelly as well, and poor old Lachlan Tiziani that we've been campaigning for years.
Yep.
Has done his ACL and he's off the sidelines.
Terrible.
It's just the way it goes. But anyway, Eagles have now put 7 in a row on the board.
Yeah, and if there are any doubts about, you know, maybe a easy draw or a bit of a luck of playing at home, whatever, there's no... I mean, they've put the kibosh on all that. They're definitely a legit team.
They play well. I mean, the teams they've beaten, there hasn't been lucky wins either.
No, because there have been, like, times where they've had their stars held down. Like, there are a couple of games, I mean, where Gaff didn't get too much of the ball, and then you had Hearn step up, and Redden's been the pickup for them that's really stepped up. And
Josh Kennedy didn't play the first half. The first few rounds. Nick Nat didn't play this one.
Yeah.
So they're travelling easy. Got to the point now where they play Richmond this week in the top of the table. Even if they lose by 100 points, they're still going to be second.
Yeah. Is that one in Melbourne or is that
it's over there.
Over there, yeah. Well, they've got a good chance of winning that one.
We'll sort that out.
Yeah.
So they're potentially at the place where, you know, come round 17, 18, 19, they can say, well, you know what? Let's Shannon Hearn, why don't you have a week off?
Yeah,
you know?
Yep.
This Optus Stadium's getting a bit tough, isn't it? So we'll play the kids.
Yeah. Did Lacroix get injured this game or just had a bit of a non-productive game?
It was a non-productive game all round, really.
Yeah, that's it. Someone steps up, though.
There was... You got to make mention of Sam Reed giving the massive rundown tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Against... I forgot who he tackled, but I know he out-sprinted Willie Rioli to make
which
it.
Is, yeah, it's no mean feat on that one.
No mean feat at all. Rioli, the only... Willie, the only Rioli going around at the minute, but... That could
change something. I love like the chat that to him about, you know, what's the pressure like? He goes, no, you know... Don't mind at all. Love being a Rioli. I'm thinking, of course you do. Like, every Rioli loves being a Rioli because you're a fucking freak of nature.
Well, hey, sitting second on the ladder too, you can say, fair enough, West Coast might make it to the grand final.
Yeah.
How much money are you going to put on Willie Rioli for the Norm Smith?
Yeah.
Another one.
Get the odds in there now.
In it. All right. And Josh has just joined us as we go into Carlton v Essendon.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on, but no change there.
Carlton v
Your highlights of the week were Max Verstappen losing end plate, Fernando Alonso meeting a kid, and Lewis Hamilton winning. There you go.
And now we're talking Carlton Essendon, before you go off. I was looking forward to this one, and it didn't quite live up to the hype.
Well, it did, because Essendon lost.
It's terrible.
I actually tipped this one. I'm fucking stoked.
Oh, everyone tipped Carlton. This one was easy.
No, this is one of the ones where it got me a point ahead on the office tipping board, so I'm number one with about a point margin.
I think I actually caught up one on my office tipping too, but I'm still a fair way about. I don't know if it was this one or another one. Anyway, I got solutions for Essendon because obviously, you know, they're in strife. They think that sacking Mark Neild is the way to go. Never a bad idea, let's be honest.
Yeah, but, you know, a bloke injects random shit into people and it's standby herd. They go a couple of losses and all of a sudden it's like, fuck off the assistant coach or the high-performance coach, whatever he was.
I don't know what he was.
Isn't that just the bloke that looks at GPS and goes, he's run too far, get him in?
Could be. I have no idea. I have no idea what any of them do. But, You know when teams are going bad, and sometimes the coach will have a big, you know, take him out and flog him on the track session. So sometimes
that's... it's generally the less intelligent version of doing it.
Yeah, well, sometimes they'll do it. They'll just say, you know what, we'll have a big track session and we'll flog it and see if they regret it and see how they go.
Yeah, so when the coach is under pressure and he's like, fuck it, you guys are having it too.
And other times, coaches go, you know what we need? We need just some quiet time, just some bonding time. And they'll go, you know what? Let's actually go and have a night out at the pub. We'll just have a quiet chat. We'll bond. We'll relax. We'll blow off some steam that way. So there's those two ways. I reckon they should try that at halftime. Because they're third quarters. Everyone's banging on about it. Why don't they do that at halftime and then come out relaxed?
What, grab a couple of coldies?
Tap a keg. You know, have a keg at halftime in the change rooms.
Oh, I think there's...
And this is the week to do it too, because they're playing Geelong in the country game.
It's good beer week.
Yeah. And beer week. And it fits everywhere.
And how often are we hearing people saying, oh, you know, the good old days of footy are over. Fuck that. Get them back. Have a dart. Like, have a ciggy there. Get onto it.
You're telling me that Brendan Goddard wouldn't mind our Winnie Blue at halftime?
That's why he's fucking angry.
I think he needs a joint. He needs to calm the fuck down. Maybe some shrooms.
I think that's Heppel. I can see Heppel over in the corner.
He'd be the one ordering the pizza.
That's what I like.
You need some Joe Rogan special mushrooms. They're going to try performance. Something.
What are they called?
That's O-N-N-I-T.
What's his mushy supplement?
Alpha Brow.
Psilocybin or something?
Psilocybin. He's always on about all of it.
Yeah, I can't remember. Some nootropics.
And the good news out of the tribunal for this one is both the Curnow boys got off for touching the ump. Yeah. I reckon one was fair enough and the other one was fairly lucky.
Yeah, well, I mean, who would have thought that there's conflicting decisions coming out of the tribunal?
Although, did you hear about Bagley Sledge?
Yes.
Which I know you did, but...
Yeah, I reckon he's a little bit hard done by.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You what? Bagley.
Yep. Because he's just making, like, for starters, Jed Lamb's had a go at him. And he's had to go back, and somebody's told. And then he said, "Look, he's made a generic sledge. It wasn't, hey, fuck your dad for killing himself."
That's just it. Like he mustn't have known that Jed Lamb's dad died when he was 8 years old or something in the most traumatic moment of his life.
He didn't. He clearly didn't.
Let's just put that and say he didn't, because if he did, he's setting a whole new level of cuntishness.
No, but at three quarter time, somebody said, "Hey, by the way, Bags, his dad did die," and he went, oh, fuck. He went over to the Carlton huddle and said, mate, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I didn't know. And then after the game, he went back.
Doubled down.
No, he went back and said, yeah, I'm sorry. I did not know. I honestly did not know. I'm like, yeah, you fucked up and he apologised.
Yeah.
Done.
Fair call.
As far as I'm concerned, done.
Yeah.
I just think he's lucky he didn't get punched in the face, like, repeatedly. I think he got a bit of biff.
Well, Jed Lamb tried to go back at him.
Yeah. I think it was a $1,500 fine.
Something but, I mean, like that. If he said that about his dad and you got a cop in the face, then surely the match review panel would be like, fair call.
Well, they've done it.
In terms of justice, I'd say so.
They've done that once before. Remember Des Headland?
Yeah.
Somebody had a go at, I think they said that slut on your, he had a tattoo and he goes, oh, I'd fuck that slut. And it's his 6-year-old daughter. And he goes,
Jesus
mate.
Christ.
He punched him and they went, you know what? Fair enough. He didn't get a week for it.
Yeah.
So there's precedent there. I remember 10 years ago, but yeah. Long time ago, though, obviously.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, I thought that the outrage against Bagley was a little bit premature, because it's just one of those... It wasn't like he had knowledge of it and went, yeah, I know how to press his buttons.
Yeah.
He just said something random and he got a reaction and went, well, that's what I'll do then.
Well, let's be honest. If it was Crowley or someone, you'd be like, he knew. But yeah. Bagley doesn't have that reputation.
See, Crowley would have done research.
Yeah.
he would have gone into it. But yeah, I just sort of thought the guys dealt with it on the field, done. Like, yeah. Leave it there. It's over.
Yeah, but there's 5 days between footy matches, so or four. You got to do something. Yeah,
Ross Lyon hasn't been out to a pub lately, so you got to fill it with something.
Yeah. I don't know, Essendon biased media, I think. Yeah, they want to report the real story of them getting killed on the field.
To be fair, if you're a journo, you'd be camping out at Essendon for easy stories, like the left, right and centre.
Yeah, and you know, some of those that good fucking pharmaceuticals to stay up all night and write these stories.
Journos know, exactly. Know where it's at.
Maybe they're the ones that are supplying the shrooms.
These stories are Adderall themselves.
All right, let's go on to Suns Melbourne. Let's not pretend anybody watched it, but I think Melbourne set a record for, or equaled the record for inside 50s at about 83. But when was the last time Melbourne scored 146 points?
Well, they should be scoring it more often, to be honest. With a bloke like Gorn in the middle,
yeah,
they should be getting silver service to the front.
Having said that, Jared Witts wasn't overmatched. You know what? He did all right.
Yeah, yeah.
This one. He's had a good career since he's gone up there. Which not many people can say. Gold Coast Suns.
To me, though, Clayton Oliver, how good is that bloke going to be?
Nah, don't like him. I'll be honest, I don't like him.
No, you're not like him, but he's. I think he's leading the hardball gets and contested possessions at the moment. He's been in the top three for the last 3 years, so he's doing all right.
I find that hard to believe. I mean, it could be true, but I think he had. Didn't he set a record for uncontested possessions last week?
I'm not sure.
Something might have done, but he's been an absolute demon in it.
Yeah, no, I think he had 28 handballs or something like that. Anyway.
Oh, I wouldn't surprise. He is an in and under player, so getting in and under in the pack, getting the ball out, he would handball a lot more than he kicks.
But, I mean, this is just dominant. Well, in the second half, it was dominant from Melbourne.
Mm.
So they've kicked 5 goals and 8 goals in the last 2 quarters. That's not a bad effort.
And May and Day both had a meeting with the tribunal, but both got off, I think.
Yeah, got off with a fine.
Yeah, well, you know.
You know, pay their money and off they go.
Yeah.
They're off to China. Do you reckon they were disappointed?
Maybe.
Like, fuck this, I'd have to go to China now.
Do you reckon they stop in North Korea on the way now just because you can?
Well, by all accounts, that Gold Coast do take the cheapest flight possible to get there. They go Melbourne via Singapore, via Vietnam, via fucking Thailand.
Well, maybe they're just doing a bit of a run on the way. Like, you know, pick up some shit in Singapore, drop it off in Thailand. A
bit of import-export.
Yeah. Well, you've got to make your money somehow.
It's recruiting. That's what they're calling it.
And it's the Gold Coast, so they're doing the same on the return leg.
Yeah, why not? All right, yeah, anyway, that's the Suns got through, and they're going off to China to, you know, throw that game again. On to what I think was easily match of the round, and it didn't look like it at stages, but the showdown, 40-whatever, who cares.
How many times have you watched that last 2 minutes?
The Port supporters can't count that far anyway. So.
I'll be honest, at halftime I thought, oh, this isn't living up to the hype, and I was almost bored with it. God damn, didn't they turn it on?
Yeah. What a last quarter, though.
What a last minute.
Well, the last 2 minutes were utterly spectacular. I think I watched it around 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, 2 lead changes in the last 100 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Loving it.
Yep.
And you're watching it and you're like, I can't believe Port are giving this up. It goes the other way. I can't believe Adelaide gave that up.
As fun as it would have been to watch it with an Adelaide supporter or a Port supporter, watching it with the Geelong supporter would have been even better.
Why is that?
Motlop. Just to see him go, motherfucker, could have done it for us.
Never did it for him. And what I love was when the siren went, Seisman was running down the wing. So Adelaide were going back into attack. I think up ahead he had nothing but Port Guernseys, but anyway. It was still live, is what I'm saying. Robbie Gray, kicking 5 in a quarter.
I mean, they've been talking about what the avenue to goals are these days, and I feel they've ripped themselves off by, I don't know, giving Robbie Gray too much of a role to get the ball into the forward line, where I feel like he's one that you need to be able to loosen up a little bit, not put so much on his shoulders for actually getting contested possession, but be able to wing a little bit.
I mean, he's no Ronky. Yeah.
No, he's better.
Yeah.
he's clearly better. He kicked 5 and a quarter. I was so happy he kicked 5
Ronky,
and a quarter.
Ronky got 7 in the game.
Yes, but you got 4 and a quarter, and I was so happy because now you go, yes, somebody else got more in 1 quarter than Rocky. Yeah. And Rock.
I mean, Jack Watt's got 2 tackles. That's a good effort from him.
I think they're...
He was chasing for 2 times.
They're getting as expected out of Jack Watts.
I think Jack Watts is just happy that Lindsay Thomas was recruited because he's not the shittiest recruit.
Yeah. Oh, poor Lindsay. And I just realised I've forgotten of, like... Oh, no, Butcher, that's right. That was the whipping boy last boy, last year.
I wonder where he's at now.
I was just thinking, yeah, that's like the real goal, real win there is Butcher's been forgotten about, and he'll be like almost George Bush come, you know, end of the season where, you know, Trump's come in, so everyone's forgotten about how shit he used to be.
Right. Set a new standard.
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough.
We're still not getting a contract out of it, though, I don't think.
What?
Butcher. Right, Trump. Rockliffe has been good as well. He took a little while to come good, but he's starting to get a hand on the ball.
Yeah. I mean, he had to sooner or later, surely. So, yeah. I mean, he's got plenty of talent, and I don't know if it was just, I don't know what it was. It just wasn't clicking it.
Getting used to a new system.
Yeah, but also it's a weird sort of attack they have running there because they've got lots of people who could be sort of standalone full forwards, but the goals come from people, them sort of running midfield coming into the out of the square and kicking for goals. So, I don't know, it's just hard to really sort of maybe assert your dominance and make yourself the focal point. You know, because they didn't have Westhoff who they'll try at full forward for a fair while before he rocked up.
Yeah, well, Westhoff usually plays in the forward 50 for the first half of every quarter. And then in the last couple of minutes, he'll go back and be there.
Yeah.
Loose man of defence almost.
Yeah.
But he is just their utility. Like, oh, we need someone in the ruck, off you go. And we need you over there, off you go.
Yeah. And obviously we don't get to see South Australian media, but is the hype still behind Sam Powell-Pepper? Or is that cooled off a little bit?
Wow, it's cooled off a little bit lately.
Yeah,
it's touch and go. You like it? Hompsch. He had a good game.
Hobbs.
Yep. Hompsch. Tex Walker got two, but he was kept very quiet.
He was, but I'll tell you what, the last one he kicked was an absolute fucking monster.
He's been voted captain of the league for the last, couple of years?
Best captain last
2 years. And deserves it. Like, when the big moments are on, he gets involved. He had a pretty ordinary game up till that point. But it's one of those ones where, had they won, it would have been his leadership, his inspirational goal that would have been a key portion of that.
Or Mitch McGovern.
Oh, the poor fucker.
Yeah, poor fucker, exactly. In the space of 1 minute, he's gone from kicking the winning goal to knocking himself out just about, and now he's out for a month?
I think six.
6 weeks?
Yeah.
Not 6 months.
6 months, like, fuck. Yeah, holy shit.
Need to clarify that a little bit. But anyway, that's the way it goes. If he's not careful, McGovern, he'll get himself the good reputation as the clutch player.
Yeah,
remember he kicked the last goal against Collingwood last year to draw the game, and a tough set shot from 40, actually a little bit closer. But this one was still, you know, a tough set shot.
Yeah,
he had to do the D, but he did it.
It's almost the main award.
Yeah,
that's what we call it.
Well, if it's against Richmond,
we need a main championship belt to just pass on week to week for the winner.
I feel like the ruck battle too didn't really live up to the hype.
Oh, I thought it was good. It was a good tussle.
It was decent, but to me, Ryder was more handy around the ground, but a 39-32 hit out with Jacobs, they didn't really seem to sort of attack each other, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, they both sort of tried to drag the other player away.
Yeah.
And that meant they both took some good marks. But neither of them were the deciding factor in the game. But I think either side would be like, well, if our ruckman didn't dominate and theirs didn't dominate, well, that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
right? And to be fair, Porter used to playing without a decent ruckman anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's his second game back, I think.
Yeah.
Ryder, so.
Same with Jacobs. Miso just pumped out a little baby girl as well, that's all.
In the morning, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, good job.
I was just flicking through the paper then. I saw him with a little baby girl. Maybe it's his. Anyway, he's just going to visit, I don't know, kids' ward or something.
Actually, speaking of little baby girl, you hear at the Collingwood match? No.
No.
Old Eddie McGuire having a bit of kick-to-kick in the change rooms, decided to, you know, show his skills. Decides to stab pass at one of the players.
Yep.
Off the side of the boot, right into Daniel Wells' daughter.
Jesus
Christ. Right in the face. Falconer.
Fuck.
She's out for 3 weeks.
They've got a great physio there, I've had.
Yeah. So Wells punched him in the face and broke 3 bones of his own.
In his hand, yeah. All right, we'll move on to the next one, which is the Bulldogs and the Lions. It's just too much class, really, from the Bulldogs at the end of the day. Lions put it up for a little bit, but
it's funny. I haven't said that about the Bulldogs much this season, but I mean, obviously, if you can't look class against Brisbane, even though they put in that great effort against Collingwood, you're probably going to really struggle.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was a good game for both teams, really, because Bulldogs, they're a bit above Brisbane, let's be honest. But Brisbane are showing a bit of fight about them, which is all I really want from them.
Brisbane are 0-8, but they've had one bad game, really.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, they'll win a game before the season's out. Essendon, how many times did they play them? But I think there's plenty of positives for Brisbane out of this game, and it's a win for the Bulldogs, so that's a positive for them. Old Bontempelli just showing again that he can play.
Laid out last week, but pops up for a lazy four.
Yeah,
this one.
Jack McCraig had a lazy 39 fucking thousand handballs,
47 touches. Jesus, not fucking
a bad,
Christ.
Not a bad day. He could be another Smokey for the Brownlow. You know, love a Smokey for the Brownlow.
Yep,
but he won't. Okay, the Bulldogs might not have many wins, but he's not having that many people taking votes off him either.
For sure, and their wins have. I mean, their losses have been atrocious, but he's been playing well enough to be able to pick up like a one and a two consistently.
I mean, the story of this match to me is how much of the ball Brisbane didn't have. Out of the top 10 disposals, they've got Zorko. One.
Well, and
you can't win a game with that.
And that's a good comeback from Zorko too. Because
he got four goals. He's done his bit.
He had a great game. But realistically, he was having a shocker. And if the Queensland media gave a shit about their teams, he would have been really under the pump. And a couple of weeks ago, he turned it around. He was probably nearly best on ground last week against Collingwood, and now he's definitely Brisbane's best player in this game as well. Charlie Cameron, you've got to give props to as well. He's been great since he's gone up there. He's always looked dangerous.
Yeah,
I was disappointed with Louis Taylor. He had a blinder last week, I thought. And he did. This week, he just didn't do much. He had 10 touches and didn't hit the scoreboard. So, you know, pull your finger out, lad.
Kept very quiet.
A few of them. Even McCluggage, he had a good one last week, didn't he?
He was average this week.
They all had a good one last week, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Cam Rayner, he was average again. He was good last week, but he's only a young lad. He's got plenty of time to come good.
At the end of the day, they only went down by 2 goals. So,
How do you rate Hodge so far this season? I know you're a big fan.
You don't rate him as a player. What he does on the field is absolutely irrelevant.
What he does on the field is coach the back line.
Yeah, exactly. His job is to organise them around. But, I mean, there's probably 2 or 3 bits of play per game that you go, okay, that's some class. And there's even a lot of times where he used to do it at Hawthorn as well, where, you know, it's in tight and he'll just stand still and go, I'm going to nail that pass. And he just basically stands still and it's like a place kick, basically.
Yeah.
And he just looks like he's got too much time. I saw him do that once or twice, but, I mean, he's not going to outmark anybody. He's not going to chase down anybody.
It's like he's playing VR Supercoach.
A little bit.
Look, I'll go into bat for the bloke. I think he's had a
great bloke.
A good bloke, TM. I think he's doing really well, because you see the backline set up now compared to last year.
Yeah.
They've got a clue.
Yeah.
And they're also willing to look for him or listen to him, which, you know, if he comes to the team and having achieved what he's achieved, which is more than the whole team combined, you're going to listen to the fucker.
You have to.
Yeah, and no one seems to be ignoring him, which sometimes can happen in footy teams. Someone thinks, well, you know, I can do better.
And let's be honest, a lot of those players have got to be smart to realise one day your contract, he might be signing it.
Yeah.
Well, this is true. And, you know, by round 22, that could be happening. Who knows? But I think they've gotten value out of him already.
Of course they have.
Because we've said the last couple of years, premierships are made on your average team member and your back line. Backlines are vital for a premiership.
And your forward line. Your average team member, your back line, your forward line. Your and midfield as well.
And your ruck.
Coaching. Coaching.
We'll throw the coaching in there. Yeah. And cheer squad and banners and shit. But he has done wonders for their back line already. It's kind of, who's the back line coach there? You don't know. No one knows.
Nobody knows.
No one cares.
I can tell you that Chris Fagan's the head coach.
For now.
I think he's killing it at the Lions. Like we said, they've lost 8 in a row. But they played 7 good games.
I'll tell you what, I could be their backline coach at the moment. All I'd be doing is just giving Hodgie the double fist pump and say, lad, whatever you say, they'll do.
They'll do, exactly.
Brisbane, if you want to hire me, I'm on board. I'll just sign up whatever Hodgie wants.
Of course.
Yeah.
200 grand.
Frio hosted St Kilda. St Kilda couldn't kick straight.
I mean, no, not terrible.
What we expect from them now.
Terrible.
Fucking so.
It's like that this year, though, isn't it? There's probably 4 or 5 teams we've already put a line through.
Yeah, St Kilda, definitely one of them.
Definitely one of them.
I just don't see where they're improving. Like, you look at some teams and you're like, all right, Brisbane, Carlton, you think, all right, we've got positives there, we've got things we can look for. If you're a Saints supporter, where are you thinking, all right, this guy's going right?
Thank fuck, got rid of Ross Lyon.
Yeah. That's about it. Yeah. I mean, and I think they're going to struggle to justify signing Richardson again. I know he's already contracted for next year, but
I mean, it is harsh because a lot of it's like memory 1-5. That's just a coach killer right there.
Yeah, and he's been like that all year.
Yep.
And it's just lucky Casbolt's taken a lot of the heat off him, even though Casbolt's more accurate than he is now.
I don't think anybody's taken the heat off him. Like, it's been quite focused on, mate, you fucking missed again. Again, it goes back to the old thing, like, maybe you're a centre-half back.
Yeah. Yeah, you may as well at this point of the season because, I mean, they've been trying to deny a rebuild for so long and now it's inevitable.
Yeah.
But with the pieces they've got trying to plug away at not rebuilding, you kind of, you're in no man's land and how are you going to adjust that and make that into a winning formula?
They've been unlucky too, though. I mean, like they got the number one pick in Paddy McCartan and he's just not built for a football. Yeah. Like, he didn't play this game and he's not playing the next one either.
Niski on the protein.
Hugh Goddard, I don't know, like talking about him playing good or coming back for ages and haven't seen anything from it.
I think they've been unlucky and maybe they're missing just one or two stars, like outright stars.
How many other Jacks are there?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Look at Jack Watts there. Fuck it.
They got all the bad ones.
they're trying to say, you know, Jack Stephen is a star. I'm like, he's almost.
Yeah.
I think the last couple of years, too, we've wanted Hickey to have a breakout season. He just hasn't. Like, he's been adequate.
He's been good. He's been okay. But, I mean, it's not like he was a big draft pick or a big signing or anything. It's just he's their ruckman. You know what I mean?
But he's shown flashes of, you know, this guy could be something. But he got smashed by Sandilands. Sandilands kicked a goal on him.
As you expect, though. I mean, Sandy's a fucking monster.
Yeah, but even with that, Sandy should... he should know the gas tank to go with Hickey. He
doesn't need to.
No, that's true. They both got a goal, but I'd still rather Sandilands' game, to be honest.
I gotta go.
Yeah. Even with Nat Fyfe playing this one, I'm nearly convinced that he is equal of Judd and Ablett at their best.
He's
gone that high now.
He's got his votes. I honestly think he's in with a chance for the Brownlow this year because he's had votes in probably the last four games. Easy. At least.
Yeah. All right. There's no need more to say about that. Mother's Day Massacre. Well, it wasn't really a massacre, was it? North and Richmond on Sunday. North took it up to them all day. It felt like Richmond were on top, but they never got a break.
Yeah, I feel like... North kept them honest. I didn't feel like there was ever that likelihood of a boil over, even though North were leading halfway through the term.
The final term, yeah.
Yeah, it always felt like Richmond had an answer. Yeah. There was no moment where you like, just get the ball to this bloke. Ben Brown was obviously mugged all day. fucking couldn't get anything.
But you got to say with Benny Brown.
He did miss a couple.
He had his chances.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, the last one he missed... he had to rush his thing. He only had about 3 minutes to do his run-up. He needed another 10.
Well, I think it might have actually been you that said during the game he should be called for travelling too far every time he does a run-up. He clearly goes over his 15 metres twice.
I think I stole that from someone. Did you? But more than likely.
But, I mean, that goes back to why do you need... I mean, it's good to have a consistent routine. But I was counting. He got up to his top pace. He has a 38-step run-up.
Yeah.
He gets up to his top pace at step 18, 19.
Hmm.
So why do you need those other 20 steps, you know? And when it comes down to your two goals down with a minute left, you need, like, okay, you can't do your full run-up now. Your full routine's gone. Maybe you say, you know what, maybe 22 steps is my routine.
Yeah, but the guy's leading the Coleman. He's one of the most accurate forwards. If I was Brad Scott, I'd let him do what he wants to do. Like, the one or two times...
Do you want to win games?
Yeah, but I don't think that would have made the difference here. Even though he did have two easy misses, I still feel like had he hit them, there would have been a similar sort of result. North would have lost by less.
You never know. Yeah.
I'm not going to blame it on that. Richmond just seemed to have the answer. Although, to look at positives, Cunnington obviously setting the all-time record for contested possession.
Yeah, at his best game by a mile.
Yeah, and we were at the match, obviously, and I did say that his kicking out of pack was a bit ordinary, but the fact he got so much of the damn ball, more positive than negative.
There was plenty of times, though, that Richmond like a hack kick forward, and he was marking intercept marks on his chest because he got in the right spot, you know, knowing that Richmond are going to hack it forward. There was plenty of times he did that. So, you know, he's not a beautiful disposal of the ball, but...
Oh, no, he's a bulldozer.
Somebody's got to get the ball, and that's what he did.
Benny Jacobs, too, gloved Martin for most of the match until Martin went forward.
Hey, who'd be a tagger? because he has. He's done a great job on Martin all day, and frustrated Martin. Got Martin to do push and shoves with bloody everyone. And then in the final quarter, Martin gets 3 goal assists. And you're like, well, fuck me.
Yeah,
beating him for 3.5 quarters. Obviously, North Melbourne would not have been that close if he hadn't done his job.
Now, Jacobs wasn't on Martin for that last little bit, though, which that's a coaching choice.
Yeah, switched him over to Cochin, who had 30-odd touches anyway.
To be honest, I would have tagged out Cochin rather than Martin.
From the get-go, yeah.
Yeah, because Cochin's the in-and-under player.
Yeah.
Martin's the one that sort of runs around the boundary. And
shoving blokes in the face.
Yeah, shoving blokes in the face. But you got called for that this time.
He did.
It
was too obvious. Yeah. That's why he got called.
Well, the eye gouge didn't help. But I did like that one moment when, obviously, he's gotten frustrated with Jacobs. I think the ball's tumbling over the boundary line. He's given Jacobs a bit of a shove into the fence. But, you know, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Just a bit of frustration. And then Cunnington comes in and gets in his face. Bit of push and shove, but it was like steel sharpening steel.
Yeah, it was a bit, wasn't it? It was both, we're both not going to try this, are we?
Yeah, it was like, all right, you motherfucker, I know you're a hard cut and so am I. Let's just have a beer afterwards. Yeah, all right, mate. Actually, funny on that, I did have a bit of a laugh about Cunnington. He won't use two words, one word will do.
Yep.
There was an image that was sent around the North Melbourne thing from Heath O'Loughlin. He was trying to convince Ben Cunnington to do media. And he sent a text saying, mate. And Cunner's response was, g'day. I have an idea. It's a win-win. Nah. Okay, good chat. and that's legit. That's actually what happened.
You should say he's the media officer for North Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the Tigers weren't great, but still got another win, and they're still happy on top of the ladder.
Well, there was a lot of clean passages of play end-to-end this match, which was entertaining, but there was also a lot of grind, which I actually enjoy the grind. I enjoy the grunt, and it just comes down to who wants it more.
Yeah, when it's pressure on the ball, and certainly the tackling pressure, especially in the second half, was really turned up.
Mm.
But I think was it the last goal to Cochin or the second last goal was just all class. You're like, okay, end of the day.
That was Dusty's double paddle down/throw.
Paddle down. Yeah, otherwise every ruck work is a throw, according to that. It was just, okay, at the end of the day, class is class.
Yeah, no, that was decent. It was fucking good.
And that was the difference at the end of it.
Yeah, it was that able to improv on the moment.
Yeah.
Which, look, North will get there because they're a very young squad. Yeah. But I think a few blokes might not see it through.
And Jackie Zeeble gets a win at the tribunal.
I'm fucking shocked. Like, this is the bloke where he's been suspended 6 matches for going for the ball. So, look, for what happened, he's grabbed the ball, and the ball's still live. Conker's...
No, he got tackled.
Tackled or whatever, but Conker's holding the ball.
Yeah.
Rather than holding Jack. And then Conker's dropped his feet.
We've all seen it. We don't need to...
And the argument was, I'm holding the ball, he's holding the ball, I'm lifting an 85-kilo bloke up... I'm going to stumble forward and, both knees bent. Just one of them happened to be on his cheek.
Now, I didn't see any of the footage of the tribunal, but is it true that Joel Selwood was in a North Melbourne side giving notes
on offences? I have no comment about that. the thing that set it apart was the Richmond doctor gave evidence saying, yeah, nah.
Nothing fucking happened.
Nothing happened. He didn't even have a bruise. He's fine. If he had said, he was a bit concussed... Zeeble would have no chance.
Yeah, at the end of the day, like, you go, okay, yeah, his knee did make contact with his head. But you have a look at what's going on, you're like, mate, it's not like he hurt him. And not like you ran in, doing a Kinshasa, trying to knock him out. It's just one of those things that happened in a rough game.
Yeah.
And he was probably a little bit pissed off he got tackled too.
Well, the thing was too, Zeeble was very smart about it. He actually did a weight cut last couple of days, so he went in at 65 kilos.
Calculated?
Yeah, exactly, calculated and said, look, it was only about 32 kilograms of knee and upper body. And they did the math and said, well, he's 85 kilos. 30. Yeah, no, that's lower standards, that's fine.
It's about time he got a bit of leniency too.
Might have been an even up, really.
Might have been a bit of an even upper. Last game of the round, Cats, Collingwood was boring. I don't know if we'll go any further.
It's funny to say because I enjoy disliking Collingwood, but I want them to be good here because they've got some players I actually like.
Let's be honest. They've been playing attractive footy. This wasn't it, unfortunately.
5-15.
Yeah, but, and things happen, and injuries, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't a very enjoyable game.
You know how the US is all about, I'm for the troops but against the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm for the people.
Like that with Collingwood?
Yeah, I'm for the players. I like the players, but I'm against the coach.
What do you think about Aish? All right, let's move on.
I don't mind the bloke somehow.
We'll go quickly through round nine. Bulldogs travelling over Adelaide Oval on Friday night.
I'm actually really excited about this round. There's a lot of great matchups.
This isn't one of them.
No. I think this should be an absolute fucking belting.
Adelaide easy.
If Adelaide are serious, they should pop them by about 10 goals.
North Melbourne taking the Giants down to Hobart.
This fucking shits me because North somehow is going in favourites.
Well, 10th versus 9th, and so they should. Giants have been shit.
Patton's been dumped for being shithouse that shot a goal.
He didn't play last week either, did he? So it's going to be interesting if he... I don't know how they went in the NEFL, but if he gets a call up. But really, North should put a good margin on this one.
Well, you look at the matchups, and realistically, Goldstein should fucking towel them up.
Just on form.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking... Davis is out too, so there's their major back line. Josh Kelly not in.
Benny Brown's going to have a big day.
He should.
Heath Shaw's been absolutely hacking the ball out of fullback this year too, so there'll be plenty of repeat entries on offer.
The thing is, though, if Ben Brown does miss again, he just has to sit about 40 metres out dead in front and Heath Shaw kick it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
The way it's looking.
Yeah,
exactly. Honestly, if he kicks less than four, he's wasted some shots.
Yeah. The Suns are going over to China to play Port. That'll be a flogging.
I really want to have a reason to think the Suns could do well, but I can't think of any position where they've got the upper hand. Yeah.
And last year, I think they kicked four goals in this game or something terrible like that. The other thing I don't like about this, I like that the AFL are trying something and Port are trying something by going over to China. But what I don't like is they tell us, oh, it's a sellout. And then you look on TV and you're like, that's a 30% full stadium. Like, yeah, they're out the back in the marquees. And like, no, they're not, mate. Just don't bullshit to us. And they're saying, oh, we're making so much money on it. And then this year they're going, oh, we think we'll break even this year. I'm like, you told us you made money last year, mate.
Mm.
Anyway, all the lies that go around with it, but you know, I feel like it's that's just China.
The way of doing business in China is like, did you sell the tickets? Yes.
Yeah.
Did you really?
You told me yes, I did.
Yes.
You told me I did. Yeah,
yes.
I did.
Yes. Do you want me to sell the tickets? Yes. Yes, I sell them.
Anyway, Essendon are fronting up against Geelong. That will be a flogging too.
I mean, at least it's the G, so they've got a short walk home.
Oh, it could get ugly, this one. Especially...
It fucking should, to be honest. Essendon are always... they're in all ways.
One day this year, they're going to come up and surprise and have a big upset. I don't think it'll be this one, though.
I just... Mind you, Geelong are underperforming, and to say that about a third side, they've got an all-star midfield.
They're underperforming, but they're still getting over the line.
Yeah. They should destroy them by 100 points.
That's the thing. Like Geelong have lost a couple of games, but they lost to Sydney, you know, and Hawthorn and some... Who else did they lose to? West Coast over there. When it's come to the lower teams, they've gone, don't worry, mate, we've got this. They've been taking care of it.
Yeah. I mean, but you look at teams where you're like, all right, if everyone was a free agent, who am I going to chase first? There's about four blokes on Geelong that immediately are at the front of your line.
And even the rookies, like fucking Kelly and Radulica.
See, he's actually knocked back a contract.
Kelly?
Yeah, they offered him a 2-year, and he's like,
there you go, North. Mate, there you go. $2 million. 12 years. $2 million a year. Anyway, they're going to win that easy. The Swans are trying to get their first home win for the year against the Dockers. They'll do that easily.
Well, they fucking should. Yeah, I mean, if you're ever going to play against the Dockers right now, even though Five is in brilliant form, they're at sea.
Yeah, they're all over the shop. They won't win a game away from home, the Dockers, for the rest of the year. Saints and Collingwood at Etihad.
Collingwood had a bit of a rough run, but Saints have been worse over every round so far. So Collingwood, if they turn up, they win by a lot. If they don't turn up, win by a couple.
Good chance Pendles is back for this game too.
Older Pendlebury, good on him.
I think playing under the roof too will suit Collingwood. They don't like the wet. Carlton and Melbourne at the MCG.
I actually like this.
I don't think
now that both Kernos are in.
Yeah, I think they've got a chance, Carlton. If they take their chances, what's actually probably going against them is the fact they won last week.
Yeah, they're probably still pissed.
Gorn v Cruiser be a good one.
Yeah, I think Gorn will take the chocolates just because Cruiser's probably carrying 18 different injuries right now because it's been a couple of moments.
Yeah,
I'm on Melbourne.
Comfortable Melbourne.
Yeah, but I think Carlton they'll have their chances.
Yep.
If they kick straight, which is no fucking guarantee with their team, they'll be in it to the last quarter. If they waste their shots, it's going to be over by halftime.
Lions and Hawthorn up at the Gabba. Not without a chance.
No, I was going to say, I don't think this is a walk-in.
Absolutely not.
The Lions have been improving every week, although improving more and less in some games than others. But I'm looking at it as Burgoyne's still got a bit of a twinge, yeah?
No, he's playing. He's back.
But he doesn't seem to be 100%.
Oh, it's because he's 48 years old.
Well, this is true. If there's going to be an upset this week, it's going to be this.
I think so too. I think they're the chance. And obviously, this is the first game against Hodge. Everyone knows how smart Hodge is in the background. In the back line. Imagine what he knows about the Hawthorn team that he's told them all week. And about their structures and how they're going to set up and what the counter to the counter is. And
well, maybe that's what Clarkson was talking to Gill about today.
On Monday morning.
On Monday morning, yeah. He had a bit of an out of sorts meeting. Everyone thought it was about the Swans match. Maybe he was saying, hang on, Hodgie's breaching confidentiality agreements.
IP issues.
He's got copyright lawyers on him. But I'm still on Hawthorn. They're sitting fifth, which is honestly more than I think even you thought they would be at this time of the season.
Yeah, we've had a good run. Like I said, we've had one good win, really, against Geelong.
That's still a good win.
Yeah, exactly. But we've got a tough 2 months ahead of us where I think we'll slide down a little bit and might hang on to the eight. Yeah, that's what I expect.
I think this is the match where Sicily gets suspended again. Solikas, he'll be playing on Hodge at some stage.
It's going to happen, is it?
I was kind of shocked Monday to hear nothing about Sicily, and then Tuesday to hear, they're looking at something. But I think that's just,
nothing.
I think the AFL is just trying to recoup some cash.
They've done well.
And he's a good place to start.
And finally, easily match of the round, first versus second. And like I said, it doesn't matter what happens in this one, they'll still be first and second by the end of the week.
It's Optus Stadium, which to me is a very interesting thing because Richmond haven't played there before, obviously.
Obviously.
And West Coast have. So that's an immediate advantage, particularly when it's got a reputation for being hard and troublesome. So, look, it's tough to pick. I'm still on Richmond, but I think it's going to be very much a seesawing event.
Rioli could be back this week, but I reckon they might run in through the VFL first. But
yeah, I don't think you risk a player like him in a new stadium that's got a reputation for being hard and injury prone.
Although Port did it, didn't they, last week? I should say the week before.
Port had loose cannons.
Yeah, and Ryder got through it. But yeah, I think he does. But Richmond have got just about a complete list to pick from over there. So I think it'll be interesting. But I am picking the Eagles as well for the same reasons you said.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great match, though.
It should be. I hope so, because there's some floggings going to be this weekend. At least we've got that to look forward to on Sunday night.
Should be fun.
All right, that'll do us.
Yeah, see ya.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.